So there's different figures going around, but the last one that I read was from 2015 from Australian Bureau of Statistics. It said Catherine's homeless population was 31 times the national average, which is huge. So it's obviously a really big problem in Catherine. Has the government ever put a figure on how much it would actually cost to solve the problem? Like, how many houses would need to be built to solve the problem? Is there any figure or statistic on what?
Because the numbers here are enormous, aren't they? So yeah. They talk about 1 in 4 people being homeless in Catherine. We talk about being the NT, as you said, is the worst homeless problem in the nation. Well, Catherine is, whether it's 1 or 2 doesn't really matter. We're up the top of the tree. We've got a 5-year waiting list for public housing in this town. So if you talk to all the experts, public housing is one of the greatest needs for this town going forward. So what's the solution? I don't know.
The solution, I think a lot of commentators continually go back to try and count numbers. So we know the statistics are enormous, but we've got to look at the territory and the unique identifiers within those statistics. So when you've got overcrowded housing in the remotes, you have a big mobility factor, a lot of people mobile, and you need to support those people. You can go down the road of the traditional commentators who want to quantify buildings and dwellings and bedrooms. The Northern Territory Government, in terms of our new plans and our new policy, particularly with the remotes, is really focused now on outcomes.
Yeah.
And a good example of that is the traditional thinkers that want to nail the minister with how many bedrooms will you deliver, minister?
Mm.
My answer now to that traditional thinker is, well, we're actually going to consult with local people. And when we took this to the election in terms of the policy, we started the narrative around, okay, what is the unique identifiers here? And let's look at place-based solutions. And Indigenous families, for instance, said, well, we're big families, but we want to stay together. We want to live as an extended family. So that was basically the catalyst of our policy around room to breathe, around customising that dwelling to support better outcomes in health, better outcomes for the kids and their education, better outcomes for justice, so trying to address that, you know, those stresses and strains where there are a lot of people living together, and customise that serviced lot of land, that living space. And so we started to dialogue with a cross-section of territory constituents, and we've come up with a policy that in our unique circumstances in the territory, it's not just about a bedroom, it's about improving outdoor living areas, which lots of families like to share. It's about looking at independent living spaces on a serviced lot of land that would support seniors. It's about customising existing infrastructure, so houses with verandas. How can we improve that living space, insulating it, closing it in, providing a private space for the young couple who are still living at home with the family but are now married. And so we're looking at outcomes and we're looking at innovation. I don't want to be confined to the 3-bedroom core filled block house any longer. And the only way to achieve the better outcomes is to create really good, empowering local decision making. And that's what we're doing here.
But I mean, I get that you don't want to quantify it because different, you know, how it works.
You can quantify it if you want it.
But I mean, like, do you guys have a goal like half homelessness in the next 20 years, or is there any sort of goal like that to reduce it? Like,
I'll tell you, I'll give you a completely different angle on that question as well. You know, my dream and the aspirations of this policy is to create jobs. So I want you to think about a housing sector with a finite resource, right? So let's quantify the Northern Territory's budget into housing and homelessness, incorporating the remote.
That's what you said, the Commonwealth, isn't it? The NT government hasn't got enough money to fix Catherine's problem.
Absolutely. And it's always a partnership with the Commonwealth. 70% of our income come from the Commonwealth. And we've just seen a $2 billion cut in GST, which is enormous for our jurisdiction. However, when I talk about jobs, the system has finite resources, and Catherine needs more. So does everywhere where I live as well. So currently, the system is quite inefficient. So if we can start building local capacity and encouraging people into jobs in the housing sector across all the layers of that sector, managing the tenancies, good cyclical repairs and maintenance, the new customised construction work around room to breathe, improving the amenity of the whole dwelling, and of course the new builds, then we're going to have the opportunity to then incorporate homelands because of the efficiencies we'll deliver. This is the plan. And then we've got a real dynamic housing sector that is delivering far more outcomes for that finite dollar than currently. Now, I'll tell you a story about a $5,000 fly-in, fly-out fluoro tube. That's a true story where I live. That is a system that is broken. Now, with that $5,000, let me really visualise for you some local people working in that industry, training as an apprentice, partnering up with Territory Mainstream Industry and joint ventures and partnerships, right from Tier 1 contractors right through to subcontractors. This is where we're going with the outcomes base. So it's about being smarter, it's about being more innovative, but we will not do anything without local decision making seriously guiding governments, you know, work in this space.
You're the Minister of Housing, and we've got people on the waiting list for 5 years. What do you say to them when they stop you in the street and say, I've been waiting for 5 years for a house?
Yeah.
What answer can you give them?
The answer is that we are working on the continuum of public housing. We need to look at public housing for the most vulnerable, the most needy. There's a lot of room in the system with our policies and also our delivery to support people. And some, it won't be in the public housing system. It will be in the private market. Currently in Catherine, you would have a lot of people in public housing that are earning over the threshold income.
Absolutely.
Therefore, they're paying market rent. They're paying Catherine market rent. So we're talking to those people that this is a continuum. We can support you. We need to look at your options to move on into the private rental market, into owning your own home, but starting to free up public housing for the most vulnerable. That is my first and foremost story, because essentially everybody wants a house.
I'm picking up on that point. So there are people in public housing in Catherine that shouldn't be in public housing.
I wouldn't say not shouldn't be, but
they're paying more than they're paying market rent.
Across the Northern Territory, we are managing clients, and when you go above the threshold, right, in terms of the income assessment, you'll be moved into